The last woman we'll talk to today on Sunday morning is Raquel Peel. It's 12 minutes to 12. Raquel used to be a musician and later became a music manager, and she has got degrees in both music and business. While she was using her business brain to help musicians, she ended up helping them with their personal problems too, their relationship issues. And that led her to study psychology. And now Brazil-born Raquel Peel is living in Australia. She married an Aussie, and she's becoming known in media as an academic looking at serious issues that touch people's lives. Her PhD research at James Cook University in Townsville is on why people self-sabotage relationships that look to be good ones with good people. Raquel Peel, welcome. Now, you're a tutor and guest lecturer in psychology while you complete your PhD. What led you to look at people sabotaging their romantic relationships?
Well, I started off by researching suicide, and I actually done that in both Australia and Brazil. And a lot of the reasons behind why people were considering death as, you know, as a way to go, or killing themselves as a way to go, I should say, is because of broken relationships. And that got me thinking, well, let's take a step back. Let's look at reasons behind people can't maintain relationships. There is a lot of focus on how to find Prince Charming, and a lot of people are actually quite successful at finding romantic partners. But a lot of the times they are not good at maintaining perfectly, you know, good relationships.
Okay, but we're not so much talking about the relationships which are just, you know, incompatible, pure and simple, and someone leaves and someone's heartbroken. We're talking about really about how you in a relationship somehow conspire not to make it work. That's the really interesting part, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, some relationships are really just not meant to be, but what I'm interested in is what kind of things people are doing to relationships that have the potential to work and destroy them. It's kind of like they're not giving it a chance. And so what I've been doing is I've been interviewing psychologists specializing in relationship counseling to explore some of the reasons behind people are not successful at maintaining those relationships. And I have found that regardless of age, gender, and sex orientation, we all tend to behave in similar ways. And what I mean by that is we create expectations of how a relationship should be based on our previous relationships. So, you know, the relationships with our parents, relationship with our friends, and of course, previous romantic relationships. And we tend to carry those expectations to future relationships. So you can only imagine, you know, if you had a partner that was unfaithful, you might create that expectation that you can't trust people, that that partner will also be unfaithful to you. And it's almost like we start looking for signs of an affair or disrespect, and sometimes the sign is not there. So do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know, I do. If you look at some of the pop psychology of this online, explanations of self-sabotage, often they don't seem to go deeply enough down the well, really. I mean, we can understand, for example, self-protection, not getting too close to someone as a way of protecting yourself. But that doesn't explain self-sabotage when you are securely in a relationship, but, for example, you might treat people you barely know better than the person you intimately know, that kind of behaviour. Mm. Is that still a bit of a mystery why people do that?
Yes and no. So you are spot on when you're talking about protection. So protection is an innate need. We all want to protect ourselves. So that's at the core of why we do what we do. But the problem is that sometimes in searching for that to protect yourself, you ended up destroying something that it wasn't actually a harm to you in the first place. So I think that would be at the core of why we do that. Another thing as well is the reinforcement of wanting to be right. So, for instance, if you go into a relationship thinking love is hard, okay, and you look for signs as to why that relationship should not work, and you do find that, yes, in fact, that person is not good for you, whether you create it or not, you know, that's beside the point, you are reinforcing the fact that you're right.
Okay.
So that sort of boosts you up. So that's another aspect of it as well.
Okay, so you need to maintain that feeling, protect that feeling of being right, that feeling of control, even though it is damaging and your relationship and diminishing the chances of it working.
Yeah, so that's one of the strongest things with self-sabotage, is that sometimes the need to be right overrides everything else that is going on. So being able to say, I knew it, you know, this didn't happen to me, I've got my knowledge, it's more rewarding.
Paradoxically, paradoxically, let's say someone is trying to protect self-image, self-esteem, and won't let go of that, and so they're stymieing the relationship. Out of interest, Raquel, if they do let go and open themselves up to the other person, does self-esteem improve? Does self-image get better? Is this, in fact, what you have to do?
Look, in an ideal situation, your partner is also someone who is doing the same. Okay, because if it won't work if you are the only person doing that. So if you open yourself up to intimacy and to love, and your partner is someone who, you know, it's going to step on you, that's only going to make your self-esteem and self-image worse. So in the end of the day, it needs to be something that you do together. So if you're going to jump that cliff, you've got to do it together, if you get what I'm saying.
I do, but it's easier said than done, isn't it?
So much easier said than done. And I have to say, like, my research is a little bit confronting in a sense that the real question really is, you know, is relationship too hard or are we making it too hard? And when I say that, people get quite confronted. You know, they say, oh, no, relationships are hard. Yes, they are, but only to a certain extent. I think we are making it harder than it should be.
Is that fairly well ingrained in a lot of people? There's the writer Faye Weldon in her book Female Friends says, if you don't mind my quoting her, we make tactless remarks because we wish to hurt, break our legs because we don't wish to walk, marry the wrong man because we can't let ourselves be happy, get on board the wrong train because we would prefer not to reach the destination. It is quite a quote. Even if you are damaged from previous experience, as you say, even if you have shame, whatever, a whole luggage compartment of baggage, what is it in us that resists the helping hand out of that, that keeps us stubbornly stuck? That's a mystery still, isn't it?
It is, and that's why we have to go back to the origins of how we learned to love, you know, and that's a PhD in itself, isn't it? Our first experience of love is with our parents, okay? And if we are learning that that's an insecure space, we will tend to carry that and we will tend to sort of try to recreate that in a way. So I think that answers some of the question.
It does.
But
Well, this is the thing. This is the interesting thing, because you're not pretending to have all the answers yet. Your study is in three phases and will run for another 2 years. So what are the phases? Can you explain what you're actually setting out to do?
Yeah, so the next step will be to actually be asking people that are in relationships to answer how they are sabotaging their relationships. So I'll possibly do that in a form of a scale. So my aim is to create a self-sabotage scale to then develop a model of self-sabotage and hopefully implement that into practice, because the ultimate goal would be to actually contribute to relationship counseling. So what can we actually do to help people that want to get out of this, as you put it yourself?
It's been known about for a long time, and I suppose there are all sorts of people all over the world trying to help people get out of it. Are you hopeful that you can come across some kind of formula, some kind of advice, some kind of method that will actually assist people to stop their self-destructive behaviour?
I think it's really hard to have one solution that will fit all. But if I can at least create awareness of the fact that, one, we don't know much about relationships, and I know we talk a lot about it, but we still don't really understand relationships, and we have very misguided, you know, perceptions of what love is. So if I can create some awareness of how we can look at that in a more realistic way, I think that's a pretty good goal for me.
To what extent does that awareness help? I mean, people can be very aware of the need to lose weight or stop drinking or stop shoplifting or stop smoking or get up earlier and so on, but it doesn't necessarily make them do it. So does knowledge of a cycle of repetitive destruction, if you like, does knowing about it stop the cycle necessarily?
It's the first step, but it's definitely not the only step. So being able to, you know, in the context of relationships, being able to realize that the blame is not on the other partner. So a lot of the times you hear people saying, oh, you know, the reason why relationships don't work is because men are all bad. You know, they are all cheaters.
Yeah.
But maybe being able to go and look, oh, wait a minute, that is something that I can do, something that is on my control. So, yes, you can't help with things that are outside of your control, but you can help with things that are about yourself. So if you know that you are someone who is highly critical of your partners, regardless of what they are doing, maybe you can work on that. Do you know what I mean? So it's more steps.
So small steps. Psychology researcher Raquel Peel there. It'll be interesting to see what results her research throws up in the coming years.